We're having a class on Tehillim, chapter 94, Tehillim Tzadi Dalid, the chapter of El Nekamot Hashem, Hashem of vengeance. We ask that Hashem appears. And before we go into that chapter, we have to see the chapter in a broader sense. The chapter is one of 11 chapters in Psalms that were compiled by Moshe Rabbeinu. If we turn back to chapter 90, Tefillah leMoshe Ish Elokim, the prayer that Moshe, the prophet of Hashem, prayed, that introduces us to 11 chapters that were compiled by Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi quotes Chazal, 11 chapters corresponding to the 11 blessings that he gave to the 11 tribes. The Ibn Yechia, one of the commentaries on Tanakh, an ancient commentary, the Ibn Yechia quotes the following Medrash, that when we say they correspond to 11 tribes, as the Talmud says in Tractate Baba Basra, well, each psalm can be delineated which tribe it corresponds to. So the first psalm, Tefillah leMoshe, corresponds to Reuven, because in the first psalm, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about the finiteness of life, the fact that man knows he will ultimately die. Tashev enosh ad daka, you bring man back down to the grave. And then that corresponds to Moshe's prayer of Yechi Reuven val yamot, give Reuven life. Don't let Reuven end. Let Reuven have eternal life. Yoshev beseter elyon, the second chapter, that corresponds to Levi, because Levi was beseter. They were in the they were in the canopy of their Ribon shel Olam in the temple. Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat is the third chapter. That's Tov LeHodot LaShem. Tov LeHodot corresponds to Yehuda, the idea of Yehuda. We're introducing the 94th chapter of Psalms. That's Yehuda, whose name reflects Odet Hashem, I will thank Hashem. Hashem Malach Geyut Lavesh, the next chapter, Hashem's kingship. Hashem has worn his greatness over us, that corresponds to Benjamin, that Benjamin is described as the one that Hashem hovers over. Hashem is in his territory, the Holy of Holies. Kel Nekamot Hashem, says the Ibn Yechia, that corresponds to the tribe of God, from whom came out Elijah, Eliyahu, the prophet, who took Hashem's revenge. And finally, the next chapter, Lechu Niranena, corresponds to the tribe of Yisachar, who are always dealing with the Rina, the song of the Torah. So when we approach the 94th chapter, we're approaching a chapter that represents Eliyahu HaNavi, represents the tribe of Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a chapter about revenge. And before we go into that chapter, again, it's interesting to look at the broader picture. Tefillah leMoshe, that chapter together with the next one, that chapter together with Yoshev Beseter Elyon speaks about how man's life is short, how quickly man's life passes. And Moshe Rabbeinu begins his 11 chapters. Moshe begins by saying, how can man accomplish? There's so much that man has to accomplish in this life, and yet life is so short. And that's the first two chapters. They discuss how life throws at us so many things to contend with, and yet we do have to live up to our role in this life. And so that's the claim of the first two chapters, a claim left unanswered until you hit the third chapter. And the third chapter is, so to speak, Hashem's answer, where Hashem says, if a person puts his coverage in Hashem, if a person works within Hashem's system, so then even though he has to deal with trials and tribulations, he can accomplish his responsibilities in this life. The reason man does not is because he doesn't work with that system. He's not willing to say, I'll go the Torah route and things will work out right. So he tries to outsmart the Torah, which is forever the human weakness. I know the Torah says this, but I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to eat the forbidden fruit. I'm just going to get around it. It can reach the point where Cain is willing to kill Hevel because he's getting around it. Maybe God doesn't know, right? Ei Hevel Achicha. God asks him, where is Hevel? And Cain thinks he can get away with it. So our weakness, the human weakness, is always that feeling, I can get around the Torah. I know I should really do it right, but...
Just like Balaam.
Oh, like Bilam, right? We have extreme examples. And then we come to our chapter. Kel Nekamot Hashem. Kel Nekamot Ofia. Hashem is the master of revenge. The idea that Hashem does not let things ride. And ultimately Hashem says, I won't let the wicked get away with it. And so in this prayer, Moshe Rabbeinu prays, Hashem, reveal that side of you. Because we experience a life where it certainly seems like the wicked get away with what they want. And so this chapter focuses on the idea that Hashem is watching over the world. And even though sometimes the feeling is the wicked are getting away with it, so Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to answer that. And that's why this chapter is adjacent to Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat, because the three chapters are really one theme. The idea that Hashem is watching over the world, and that is part of the declaration of Shabbos. When we accept Shabbos upon ourselves, part of our declaration is, I know I all week long I'm under pressure. I must produce. I must support a family. I have to advance my livelihood. I'm in the rat race. Comes Shabbos and I say, there's a master to this rat race. I'm not a rat. I have a king, and he's watching over the world. And the declaration of Shabbos is really a declaration, I believe in Hashem, and I believe He's running the world. Why does the Talmud say, he who keeps Shabbos, then even his idol worship can be forgiven? The Beis Yosef says, because if you're keeping Shabbos, then you're not a real idol worshiper. The mere fact you're keeping Shabbos is a declaration, I know Hashem is running the world. I don't live up to that always. Sometimes a person goes to a witch doctor, he does things he shouldn't do. So that's what the Talmud was telling us. But if he's keeping Shabbos, then even the things he does wrong are not completely wrong. Because every week he makes a declaration, I know Hashem's running the world. So we turn back to our chapter, chapter 94 of Tehillim. El Nekamot Hashem. Hashem is a God that does take vengeance. El Nekamot Ofia. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, I want that side of you to be revealed. Hinasei Shofet Haaretz. We say it on Shabbos, and we say it on Wednesday morning, in the Shir Shul Yom of Wednesday morning.
It's a song.
So that, I don't know.
No,
I don't know the song. Hashev Gimul Al Geim. You who are the judge of the land, you should be exalted when you pay back those that are so arrogant. Admatai Rishaim. Do you guys want me to read it with the ancient tune?
Sounds good.
Yes? Okay. Admatai Rishaim Adonai Admatai Rishaim Yalozu. Notice how throughout Psalms, when there's a derogatory word, even if it's not about Hashem, he makes a gap between the word and Hashem. Admatai Rishaim. Gap, pause, Hashem. He's saying, till when will the wicked, I turn to you, Hashem. Till when will the wicked, Hashem. You don't want to say the wicked Hashem, right? So he makes a gap between the words the wicked and Hashem. Admatai Rishaim. Adonai Admatai Rishaim Yalozu. Till when will the wicked rejoice? Yabiu Yidaberu Atak. They express. Day by day, they say attack. They say powerful words against us. Ribono shel olam. Yitameru kol pohalei aven. And those who are sinners, well, they are exalted. They look down at us. Amecha Adonai yedakeu. They cut down, they break, they put down your nation, Hashem. V'nachalatecha yehanu. And they afflict your territory. Moshe Rabbeinu is writing this chapter before we even inherited the land of Israel. He hasn't yet seen the day where we inherit the land, and yet he's describing a time when nations will look down at us and put us down and break us down and oppress and depress the people in the land. Almana v'ger yahrogu, the widow and the convert, they murder. Vitomim yiratzechu, and they murder the orphans. Vayomeru lo yireya, And they say, Hashem doesn't see. Velo yavin Elohe Yaakov. And Hashem isn't paying attention. He doesn't understand. We can get away with it. So that's their declaration. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and says, well, it certainly seems like they're getting away with it. Ribono shel Olam, that's what the chapter began with. Reveal the vengeful side. Binu bo'arim ba'am. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the fools among the nation. And here there are two interpretations. One interpretation says that Moshe Rabbeinu is turning to the world. And that he's going to say, pay attention, Hashem has not ignored what's going on here. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is he's talking to us. You have the wicked, you have the enemy, but what about us? How do we deal with it? Moshe Rabbeinu says, you, the fools among the nation, pay attention. Uchsilim, matay taskilu. And the fools, when will you finally understand? Hanota ozen, halo yishma. He who hearkens the ear, he is the one who has given us the capacity to hear. You think he doesn't hear? Im yotzer ayin halo yabit. The Ribon Shalom who created the capacity to see, you think he doesn't see? Hayoser goyim halo yochiach. Hashem who afflicts nations. He creates tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes. He brought a flood to the world. He scattered the world. You think he won't rebuke them? Hamlamed adam dat. He's the one who taught us intellect. So you wonder if he understands what's going on. Of course he understands what's going on. Adonai yodea machshevot adam. Hashem knows the thoughts of man. Kihei mahavel. Because compared to him, all our thoughts are vain. So Hashem understands what we're thinking and what we're doing, and he knows full well what's going on. So Moshe began the chapter by saying, Hashem, we want to see the side of vengeance appear. And he continues and he turns to the people and says, even if it's not yet appearing, don't think that means he doesn't understand, doesn't see, doesn't hear. Ashrei hagever asher tiyaserenu ya umitoratecha telamedenu. There are a few interpretations to this verse. I think in order to understand it, we have to learn from Chovat HaLevavot. One of the earliest works on Jewish thoughts is a work called Chovat HaLevavot. And over there he discusses many reasons why people suffer. He has many angles. And I'll tell you one of them by example. I'll give you a few examples. I have a friend who has suffered great injustices throughout his life, or maybe the word injustices is a difficult word, but let's say that he has he has been exploited by numerous people and exploited in every angle that you can think of. And he, in spite of the great difficulties he's had to endure from his childhood till today, he is a person who is Torah observant. And he is one of a few people who I feel it's worthy to get a blessing from. And one Shabbos, I had him over for Shabbos, and he has family members with different challenges, and so he has to take care of them. So he doesn't show up to shul when everyone else shows up, because he has to take care of these members of his family. And when he's done taking care of all the different things he takes care of, then he shows up to shul. So imagine a guy walking into shul after having someone throw up on him and spit up on him. And he's dealt with all the problems. And he comes to shul for the last 15 minutes of davening. So he comes into shul. What do the people in shul see? Slept late. He didn't sleep late. He's been doing mitzvahs since 6:30 in the morning. And he comes into shul, and everyone sees him catching up on his Kriya Shema and Shacharis in Musaf. And I'm standing there waiting. I want to get a blessing from him. Because it's like the stories they say of the Baal Shem Tov, right? That everyone looks at the guy and they think he's a bum. And the Baal Shem Tov tells him, no, he's a big tzaddik. But this one, if everyone else would just know what's going on behind the scenes, they would realize that this guy's a huge tzaddik. Now, when I look at him, I don't know how he gets up in the morning and puts on tefillin. Because if we were to ask the question, Rabban Shalom, why did he have to suffer so much his whole life? I don't have an answer. If you want to talk about Gilgulim and say previous lives, but when you see someone who suffered in their childhood, when you see someone who's been suffering and suffering and suffering, so then you look at that and you say, wait, I can have an answer once I believe in the Torah, and then our sages give us certain answers. Okay, I can hear that. And I can tell you that when I see him davening a Shmona Esrei, I say to myself, how could I not get up for shul? How could I not make it to Minyan? You know, after everything he's contending with, he goes to Minyan. And I'm, what's with me? Chovos HaLevavos says, one of the angles of understanding what people undergo in this world is that they uplift everyone around them. When we see someone who has to deal with the challenges of life, and yet they're up there. I remember when I was in eighth grade, we had an eighth grade Rebbe who would speak to us Jewish philosophy, and he'd always talk to us about how a Jew has to adhere to the mitzvos, and then he had a baby. And we all celebrated, and after the baby was 3 or 4 weeks old, the baby died crib death. No explanation why. Boom, the baby's dead. One morning, that's it. So I don't know if the baby was 4 weeks old or 6 weeks old. He sat Shiva on the baby. And I remember thinking as an eighth grader, I wonder where all his speeches stand now. He spoke about faith. He spoke about being an observant Jew, even in difficult times. And when I went to visit him Shiva, I had two thoughts in mind. One was, I have to visit him Shiva. And the other was, I wonder what he's going to say. Meaning, it's one thing to talk theory, but where's the practice? I remember thinking that as an 8th grade student. And that's what Chovos HaLevavos tells us. And I remember looking, I'll tell you even here. I remember when Rav Bigun buried his son. 7 years ago? He had a son who was sick for a very long time. And I came to shul, I came here to the Machon, the Shabbos afterwards, and I heard him give the speech, and if you wouldn't have told me, if I didn't know the facts, if I wasn't there at the Levaya, I wouldn't have known he buried his son 10 days ago. You saw him standing up there with that sweetness, talking about positive things and the parsha in life, and you say, wow, how does he do that? So Chovos HaLevavos tells us that sometimes when someone deals with the hardship in life, so then one of the derivatives, one of the outcomes of that hardship is that everyone around them is elevated when everyone sees how they deal with it. I didn't dare go tell him good Shabbos. I was scared. I was ready to cry just looking at him. He has the grandchildren that are orphans. He has a daughter-in-law who's a widow. He's watched his son contending with illness for years. And now, how could I tell him good Shabbos, right? I know the halacha says that on Shabbos, you put everything on the side. It says Chovos HaLevavos, when a person deals with life's hardships and they stand up to the test, they bring up everyone around them with them. Now we could read the pasuk. David HaMelcha, or Moshe Rabbeinu, says, Ashrei hagever asher tiyaserenu ya. Praised are those righteous people who do suffer, and they know that Hashem is behind it, because nothing happens here if Hashem didn't let it happen. Umitoratcha tilamdenu, and they teach us how to adhere the Torah when they contend with their hardships and keep living the Torah lifestyle. I used to have a project where I'd interview Holocaust survivors who are still observant, and I'd ask them, I have no question on those who stopped adhering to the Torah, but what gave you the strength to keep, what was your philosophy? How did you keep on adhering to the Torah even after everything you saw? You know, people are very upset today at what's going on in Israel, and I understand that people are upset. We're in a difficult time. You sit on the train, and everyone's looking over their shoulders. You walk in the street, no one's smiling. If 2 weeks ago people would walk down the street looking at their iPhones, today no one's looking at their iPhones. People are walking down the street looking around them. Well, it makes sense. I was at Givat HaTachmosh at 5 minutes before the stabbing. I was at the Tachana Merkazit yesterday 10 minutes before the stabbing. So, you know, it's happening like pretty close to home. We get pretty riled up by what's going on today, but let's think for a minute. How many people have been killed by acts of terror and wars since the founding of the state? 22,000 people, right? That's a huge number, and every one of them is a whole life. That's 2 days in Auschwitz. Okay? Just perspective. We look at life, and we're upset with what's going on now, but wait a second. Perspective. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, when a person contends with hardship and they continue keeping Torah, when you look at a Holocaust survivor who's putting on film, they say people would come to the Satmar Rebbe and ask him for a blessing, and he'd say, go look for someone with numbers on their arm. Those are the holy people who could give you a blessing. What are you coming to me for? Someone who's dealt with that, umitoratcha telamdeinu, they're teaching us how to keep Torah. When you look at someone like that, they're teaching us how to keep Torah. Lashkit lo mime ra. Because when a person adheres to Torah, even though things are tough in this world, so then they're gaining quiet when the bad days ultimately will come, when a person will ultimately be judged with the choice of perdition or the other side. Adikare la rasha shachat. And that's when Hashem, so to speak, extends his trap for the wicked, and Hashem will pay them back. Moshe Rabbeinu began by asking for vengeance now. And he says, but ultimately we know that Hashem's paying back. He begins by saying what we all want to say, Hashem, reveal your vengeance. But he continues and says, even if we have to contend with the lack thereof, we don't see the revenge, well, remember that's where it's headed. Ki Lo yitosh Adonai amo, because Hashem will not forsake his nation. Venachalato lo yazov, and he won't leave his lot. Hashem's coming back. Eretz Yisrael is coming back. And you'll notice this recurring theme, a very powerful theme, in this chapter and other chapters as well. We speak about the people, we speak about the land. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about oppressing the people. Moshe Rabbeinu also speaks about oppressing the land. I don't know if you guys have seen the YouTube videos of kids playing soccer and throwing dirt, and they're using the mosque and the Dome of the Rock, using it, barricading it, using it to fight the police. This is Hashem's temple. What's going on here? There's the desecration of the people. There's the desecration of the land. We lament both. Pasuk Tetvav. Ki ad tzedek yashuv mishpat ve'acharav kol yishrei lev. We're in Pasuk Tetvav. The punishment, the affliction that a person undergoes is part of helping a person become greater. Ki ad tzedek yashuv mishpat. The hardships of life bring us to a point of tzedek, of greater righteousness, ve'acharav, and then, when it's all done, kol yishrei lev. Everyone's of a straight heart. We get straightened by it, whether we like it or not. Miyakum li im mere'im. When I fight the evildoers, who's going to stand up with me to fight them? Who's going to stand by my side when I have to fight those who try to do evil? Lulei Adonai Ezrat Ali. If Hashem weren't helping me, kimat shachena duma nafshi, I'd be dead. I'd be silenced. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the fight against evil is one where we are not to be victorious, is one where nature would not have it that we would win. The only reason we're successful is because Hashem stands by us. Moshe says, we have to fight evil. I had an interesting conversation with my son. The kids unfortunately know what's going on. They know about all the stabbings. And a conversation somehow came up in the house. If one of us were present, what would we do? So one of the kids said, would you be able to kill the terrorists? And another kid said, I wouldn't. So I said to that kid, you know, I think I would. And the kid said, really? I said, yeah. If I had the terrorist in a chokehold, and I could ensure he wasn't stabbing me, and I knew that so long as I held him in a chokehold, he couldn't stab me, and he couldn't hurt anyone else, I could hold him in that chokehold till he died. So the kid looks at me with big eyes, and he says, you could choke a person to death? I said, if that's what would save everyone else's lives? Yeah, I think I could. So he says, Abba, come on.
How old was he?
I'm not giving that one away. I said, you know, the pasuk says, "Ave Hashem sin ura." Those who love Hashem have to hate evil. It's not enough to want to be a kind person. You also have to be willing to stand up to evil and say, "I'm not going to let it happen." We don't talk about the fact that we might be ready to kill someone, but the fact of the matter is, if a person is coming to kill other people, then part of our responsibility in the pursuit of good is to be able to fight evil. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, mi yakumni, who's going to stand up with me to fight evil? It's Hashem that gives us the strength, because in reality, there's really, we don't really have the strength to succeed. You know, we have an interesting conversation. I had it back when I was younger, and keeps coming up again. That we're very lucky that I'm on the Jewish side, because there are a lot of things that the Arabs aren't exploiting. There are a lot of ways to do a lot of harm,
yeah,
that are not being taken advantage of. And you really think of this pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu says the only reason we're successful against evil is lulei Hashem ezratali, is because Hashem's helping me. Because otherwise, how would we do it? Rav Amnon Yitzchak has a famous class in which he says, if the Arabs just got together and started marching on Jerusalem, we don't have enough bullets to stop them. You know, it's a fact, and they're willing to give up their lives. But we have a tremendous benefit. Lulei Hashem ezratali. That's the key. Pasuk Yudchet. Im amarti mata ragli. When I see myself in danger and I think I'm about to fall, Chasdecha Adonai Yisadeni, it's your kindness that supports me. Birov sar apai bikirbi. When I have all kinds of thoughts within, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm worried. What's going to be? How are we going to last? It's been so long. Tanchumecha Yishashu Nafshi. It's your comforting words. I read the prophets and I can comfort myself, as I know that there's a better future waiting. Hay chovrecha kisei avot. Can we compare others' throne to your throne? We have thrones of many nations, but their thrones will break. Can we compare their thrones to yours? Yotzer amal aleichok. These kings, they create evil through their legal system. Yotzer amal aleichok. This pasuk is very important. Very often people say, I'm just following orders. I'm adhering to the letter of the law. Moshe Rabbeinu already said, you want to know what a human throne is compared to God's throne? A human throne is yotzer amal. They create evil. They create systems that are not fair. Aleichok. Through the legal system, through the laws. Yagodu al nefesh tzadik, they unite to take down the soul of the righteous. Vidamnaki Yarshiyu. And they find those who are innocent guilty. That's their legal system. Vahi Adonai li lemisgav. But Hashem is what's protecting me. Ve'lohai letzu machsi. Hashem, my God, He is the rock that's my protection. Sometimes people say, I have nothing to worry about. There's a legal system here. Okay. I have nothing to worry about. There's a police here. So, we like to think so. You guys know what's going on in Yitzhar? A woman was driving. Arabs started stoning her car. She called for help. In the media, they say three. I heard from people who were there. There were five young men who came from the village to save the woman. The police came and put the five men in jail. And they're still in jail. Yitzhar. Yeah. No, five Jews. If they were Arabs, they wouldn't be in jail.
They put the Jews in jail.
So, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you want to know what's your protection? Hashem is your protection. Don't assume the legal system is your protection. Don't assume the fact that there's a king. Yotzer amal aleichot, Moshe says. Just because they have a system, well, that system can be replete with evil. Pasuk chaf gimel. Vayashev aleihem et onam. Hashem will ultimately pay back for people's misuse of strength, of force. Uvra'atam yatzmitehem. Yatzmitehem Adonai Eloheinu. Hashem will cut them down. Hashem will use their evil itself to cut them down. And Moshe concludes the chapter with that. And he says, I know, Hashem, that ultimately you will cut them down. So Moshe began by saying, Ribon Shalom, I wish you would reveal your vengeance. Moshe concludes by saying, I know you will ultimately pay them back. And in the interim, we have to recognize that Hashem is not going to leave us. Hashem is He who gives us the strength to stand up to the evil as much as we can. So that's this chapter, chapter Tzadi Dalit. In Shir Shel Yom, we have the custom to add a few verses from the next chapter. Lechun Ranana Hashem. Let's go rejoice before Hashem. Let's go sing before Hashem. Nariya Letzu Yishenu. We will give song before Hashem, who is our salvation. We will greet Him with thanks. We will make ourselves heard as we sing before Him. Because Hashem is so mighty, Hashem is so great. Where do we end? I don't remember. I think we stop with L'chun Ranana L'Hashem because we want to end on a good note with the first pasuk. Okay. So now we did the 94th chapter.
Sadiq is Reuben, then Levi, then it's Yehuda.
Then Binyamin. Then Reuben, Levi, Yehuda, Binyamin. And our chapter was Gad. So again, Tefillah le Moshe is Reuven, and then Yoshev B'Seter Elyon is Levi, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat is Yehuda, Hashem Alach Geut Lavesh, the 93rd chapter is Binyamin, and finally Kel Nekamot Hashem is God, the tribe of God, which is Elio, the idea of vengeance. Yeah? Lechun Ranana is the tribe of Yisachar. Okay.